Good morning. It's good to be able to be together this morning, and we appreciate especially our visitors who are here. We're glad that you're here with us this morning. In our scripture reading of Romans chapter 4, you'll notice there where Paul says a couple of things that we want to focus in on this morning. He says that God gave Abraham a blessing. That blessing was that he would be the father of many nations. And then Paul also says that Abraham believed against hope. What we have in Romans chapter 4, verses 16 and on even down, look with me at Romans 4, verse 19. Without being weakened in faith, he, Abraham, considered his own body now good as dead, he being about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, yet looking unto the promise, the blessing of God, he wavered not through unbelief, but waxed or grew strong through faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what he had promised he was able to perform. Notice in verse 16 and 17, the blessings of God. Notice in verse 18, 19, and 20 that Abraham and Sarah are persevering through the test. There's going to be some tests that come along with this. Abraham is 100 years old and Sarah cannot have children. So there's a blessing, but it's followed by a test. And so this morning, that is our lesson. This morning, we're going to understand a very fundamental principle that I want us to all get from Scripture this morning, and that is from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation, when God gives a blessing, there will always be a follow-up with a testing. I asked if Curtis would lead Count Your Many Blessings. And we have many. We could not even begin to count them all this morning. But I'm here to tell you this morning that the biblical principle is not just simply that God gives us blessings, but there's always going to follow a testing. And this morning we're going to use the life of Abraham to illustrate that. I'm thankful for your presence. We appreciate you being here. And I'm glad that we can spend some time in God's Word. Turn back with me this morning to Genesis chapter 12. Let's understand the principle that with blessing comes testing. And we're going to illustrate that this morning from the life of Abraham, and then we're going to move to our own lives today and look at some various aspects of our own life today. It has been said, and I believe that it is true, that blessings come in packages of two. Blessings come in packages of two. When you go to the store, sometimes you can get something that comes in packages of two. Blessing always comes with a testing. So this morning, when you're counting your blessings, you might as well be counting the testings that go along with that, because they always come in pairs of two. We think a lot about the blessings, but we don't maybe think about the testing. And so this morning I want us to consider both. And that's what we find all throughout the Bible. We're going to center in this morning on Abraham, but it's all throughout the Bible. It's everywhere from Genesis to Revelation. It's in every aspect of our life. In fact, I don't know of any blessing that comes from God that does not have some corresponding testing that goes with it. I can't think of one. I can't think of one blessing that comes from God that is not accompanied by some sort of a test. God wants us to have blessings, but there's going to be accompanying testing, and we have to be faithful through that. If you're familiar with your Bible in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, you're familiar with the well-known call of Abraham, where he's called out of his own country to come into the land of promise, because there he is going to bring about a plan that will ultimately culminate in Jesus Christ and the saving of the world. And in Genesis chapter 12, when God calls Abraham out of his country, he is over in modern-day Iran and Iraq, over in that area, modern-day. It was Ur of the Chaldees back then, modern-day Iran and Iraq. To come over into Palestine, he gives him three promises that we're very familiar with, three blessings. The land blessing, the nation blessing, and the seed blessing or promise. Three promises or three blessings. But with those three blessings are going to come testings, and we're going to see that in the book of Genesis. And it sets the stage for us, brethren and friends, understanding this morning that when it comes down to our lives today, it's the same pattern. God is wanting to give you a blessing today, but it's going to have an accompanying testing that goes with it. Let's see how that unfolds. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, if you'll read with me there. Now Jehovah said unto Abram, or Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee. Blessing number one, I'm going to give you a new land. Abraham grew up in a metropolitan area. Ur was a nice place. He came from a nice family. But God is going to give him something else. I'm going to give you a land. Number two, verse two, I will make thee a great nation and I will bless thee. Underscore that in your Bible. I will bless thee. But it's going to come with some testing. So I'm going to give you a land and I'm going to make a great nation come out of you. It's just he and Sarah at the time, and he's going to come with his nephew's going to be a part of it later, but it's just he and Sarah. And I will bless thee and I will make thy name great and be thou a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and him that curses you I will curse, and in thee or in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That's the third one. All the families of the earth would be blessed. And that would ultimately be through the coming of Jesus Christ. So Abraham went, as Jehovah had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. So back in Acts chapter 7, when Stephen is preaching about this, the call comes when he is in Ur of the Chaldees, and it also comes again when he's in Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's sons and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the oak of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. So let's look at each of these three blessings, and let's look at the corresponding testing that went with them. Let's take the land blessing. I'm going to bring you into a new land, and I'm going to show you this is Palestine. This is the Holy Land, and Abraham is going to sojourn different places, and this is going to be the land. We know that later. The Jews will come in, Israel and Judah, and they will be in the land, but I'm going to give you this land. Now look at verse 6. Abraham gets down there, and the first test, the first thing that comes up is other people are living in the land. How's this going to work out? God didn't bring him into a place that was just wide open with nobody there. There's already people there, so how can my people inherit a land if the Canaanites are already there? We're going to have to do something about the Canaanites. And then it gets worse. Come down with me to chapter 12 and verse 6. And by the way, before we go any farther, I want you to notice in your Bible, if you're taking notes this morning of this principle, blessing comes with testing, make a note that often you'll find it in the same chapter, or sometimes it's even in the same verse we're going to see in today's lesson, or in the same book. God will hand out a blessing, and then immediately there's going to be some testing. So they come into the land immediately. Somebody's already else is there. Come down to verse 10. There's something else that's a problem. And there was a famine in the land. Wait a minute now. You brought me into this land that you said you were going to give me, and there's other people. And number two, we don't have anything to eat. You see? Blessing comes with testing.
And so he goes down into Egypt for a while, and there they get some food. It was known as the bread basket of the world. That's where there was food, okay? And then they come back in after the famine is over with. But there's going to be tests. There's tests.
Turn with me to chapter 13, verses 6 and 7. The flocks of Abraham and Lot are so many that they can't all be in the same place, and so they have to divide. That's another test. Is this land going to be big enough for us? And then you get over to chapter 14, and all of a sudden there's a war going on. And these people, chapter 14, verse 1, they invade and they come in and they start fighting. And Lot is now taken captive and Abraham has to go rescue his nephew. Wait a minute, you told me you were going to bring me into a land. I'm getting over here and I'm finding out that there's famine and it's not big enough for Lot and I. And there's battles going on. Do you see the point, brother? Yeah, God wants to bless you. But there's going to be tests to see if you will stay faithful to Him throughout these things that He's wanting to give you. You come over to chapter 15, turn with me there. In chapter 15, God says something to Abraham about this land promise. Verse 13, "Know of a surety that thy seed shall be sojourners in a land that is not theirs." Wait a minute. You said I was going to come into a land. Now you're saying my offspring is going to be in another land. Now wait a minute. Which is it? Well, they're going to be in another land for a while. That's called Egypt. And not only that, but they're going to be in bondage down there. They're going to have to serve some people and they're going to be afflicted 400 years. "And also that nation whom they serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with great substance." So it's not going to be until they're in another land. One more test. It's just one test after another. God always works that way, brethren. And so what happens is, when people in the world don't learn this principle, they're just thinking blessings, blessings, blessings. But they're not thinking about the corresponding testing that comes with it. And so that's when they collapse and fall. You've got to understand this principle. It's both. So after they have served everybody, they're going to have great substance. This is Moses. This is Moses in the Exodus coming out of Egypt. Okay. But it's going to be after 400 years. That's another test. Look at that. After 400 years, this land promise is not going to be immediate, Abraham. In fact, you and Sarah and those immediately around you, you're going to be sojourners. You're going to walk around all over this, but you're not going to be able to settle. It's going to be at least 400 years from now. From the 1800s BC down to about 1450 BC when they come out of Egypt. It's going to be about 400 years. You're not even going to be able to have this land, your own. Look at verse 15. "But thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age, and in the fourth generation they shall come here again, for the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet full." They don't even get the land right now, and you're going to die. You see, there's going to be a lot of testing going on, not only in Abraham's life, but even in Isaac and Jacob and going all the way down to the time of Moses before they, and then even Joshua bringing them into the land. There's going to be a lot of testing before this blessing is completely fulfilled. Look at chapter 17 and verse 8, "You will be a sojourner in the land." Look at chapter 20 and verse 1. If you make notes in your Bibles, consider how many verses say Abraham sojourned. 17:8, 20 verse 1. He sojourned here, he sojourned there. He doesn't even get the land. Look at chapter 21, verses 23 and 24. Sojourners. And look at chapter 23, verse 1 through 5. He has to buy from someone else a grave plot for his wife. You see, with blessing comes testing. So the Hebrew writer makes reference to this in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 and 9, that he was a sojourner in the land.
He didn't even get to possess this thing himself. And even his family, immediate family or not, they're going to be sojourners as well. But by the time, after about 400 years, by the time the nation of Israel grows down there in Egypt and Moses brings them out and Joshua brings them into the land, they will possess the land. But there's a lot of testing in between. Let's look at the second one. What about the nation? What about the nation blessing? Well, we just referenced this in chapter 15. Abraham and Sarah are going to have a son, Isaac. And Isaac is going to have Jacob and Esau. And Jacob is going to have the 12 sons. There's going to be a big family. And about 70 souls or so go down into Egypt toward the end of the book of Genesis. But it's estimated 1 million to 2 million people will come out under Moses and the great Exodus and the wilderness wandering. That 70 souls or so has to grow into a big nation, but it's going to take some testing. And part of that had to do with Joseph. Joseph being sold into Egypt and all the testing that he had to go through. And Exodus chapter 1, they're serving a Pharaoh who knows not God, and they are under these heavy burdens. There's a lot of tests here, but they will become a great nation. And so in chapter 15, they have to go to Egypt. Number 2, they have to serve. But they will come out with great substance. And there's a lot of tests involved in building that great nation, but one day they will come out. Moses will bring them out and Joshua will bring them in. Even with the nation blessing, there was testing. And then look with me at the seed blessing. Abraham and Sarah are childless. And back in chapter 12 and other places throughout the book of Genesis, God says that in thee all the families of the earth will be blessed. Abraham and Sarah are going to have seed. They're going to have children. No, wait a minute. They're old. And Sarah's barren. In fact, that's one of the first things we're told about her back in chapter 11 and verse 30. Sarah was barren. She had no child. And you're telling me, Lord, that we're going to have children. How does that work? Well, that's a part of what Paul said in Romans chapter 4. They had to learn to believe and trust and hope. But there's going to be some tests along the way. Let's look at it. First of all, they're childless. That's a test. Turn over to chapter 15. When God says this again, Abraham says, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? Maybe my servant, Eliezer of Damascus, maybe he can be the seed promise. God says, nope, we're not going to use him. And Sarah has to learn in chapter 16, verses 1 and following, that the seed promise is not going to come through Hagar. Maybe we need to help God out. So, Abraham, you take our handmaid, Hagar, and have a child through her, which he does. But they have to learn, no, that's not going to be the way the seed promise is going to come. His name is Ishmael, but I'm looking for somebody else who's going to be Isaac. That's going to be Abraham and Sarah. Look at chapter 17 and verse 17. Abraham laughs. Abraham laughs. Yeah, right. I'm going to have a child. In chapter 18, verse 12, Sarah laughs. Yeah, right. I'm going to have a child. What are they learning, brethren? They're learning that God is going to give me a blessing, but there's some things here I've got to trust and obey and do what God tells me to do. I've got to believe. I've got to trust and obey. It's not going to be through another plan, Hagar. It's not going to be through Eliezer chapter 15 or Hagar chapter 16. It's got to be through God's plan. And I don't need to laugh. I need to trust that. And Abraham and Sarah grow to the point of trusting and believing. And by chapter 21, God gives them a son. Jehovah visited Sarah, and she had, as he had said, and she conceived and bare Abraham a son. You've just got to stick with God.
And there's going to be some tests along the way, but you've got to stick with God. Well, Isaac gets up a little age, turn to chapter 22. What in the world? You're asking me now, you finally give me a child, and you're asking me now to kill him. So we have another test in Genesis chapter 22. Take your son and go to Mount Moriah and offer up your only begotten son. Abraham says, okay, okay. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19, we get some insight into what Abraham was thinking in addition to obedience. He was thinking, if I put my son to death, God has the power to raise him up from the dead, if that be the case. And Abraham believed and had faith in God, and so he raises that knife and he's going to slay his son, and God stops him and provides a substitute, a ram. And he says, I have seen that you are obedient and that you will do what I ask you to do. But it's a test. With blessing comes testing. So you've seen this illustrated in the life of Abraham. Let's turn our attention now toward our lives today. This is a fundamental principle I want us to see all throughout the Bible. Start reading your Bible, looking at it through this lens. What is the blessing that God is giving me in this passage that I'm reading, and what is the corresponding testing that goes with it? Because that's how God works. And He wants to bless us so much. And He gives us this other that goes with us to see if we will be faithful to Him. Let's be faithful to Him. Let's give a few examples this morning. You know, when we come into this world, God gives us parents. Parents are a blessing. Parents are a blessing. They're there to take care of us. They're there to feed us when we're a babe, and clothe us and take care of us and protect us and nurture us and grow us. What a great blessing parents are. We're going to talk this evening, if you can come back, I would encourage you. We're going to talk about home and family this evening. One of the problems in our nation is the family is falling apart. Young people don't have the parents that they need to have, but parents can and should be a blessing. But there's a testing that goes with that. In Mark chapter 7, Jesus rebuked some of the scribes and Pharisees for not taking care of their elderly parents. Parents are a blessing, but as they get older, the scripture teaches that the children help take care of them. And Daniel prayed about that in his prayer this morning, and we have that going on today. Some of us have done that in the past. Some of us are doing it right now, and some of you will do it in the future, taking care of your elderly parents. Parents are a blessing, but it comes with a testing. Look at children. Children are a blessing, but it comes with testing. Some of you are about to have children. Some of you have already had children. And when that baby comes out, you know, you smell them. You get up there and smell them real close. Boy, doesn't that smell good, you know? And what a blessing. And they're just a little thing you hold in your hands. And precious and loving and caring. But they don't stay that way long. And when they get on up a little bit, then there is the teaching and the training and the discipline that goes along. It's no longer about sweet-smelling little babies. There's a lot more complexity to it. So turn with me to Proverbs chapter 17. Children, children's children are the glory of old men. We think about our children and our grandchildren. And I've told you before about my two grandsons that are the greatest grandchildren that have ever lived. I've told you about that before. And we look at that from that standpoint about what a blessing they are. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. There is a preciousness about that. But in the same book, you turn over to chapter 22 and verse 6, they have to be trained up in the way that they should go. And look at chapter 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but a rod will drive it far from him. Boy, there's going to be some tests. They're going to test you.
And the parents are shaking their heads right now. Oh, yeah, he's right on that one. They're going to test you, parents. They're going to test you. It's a blessing. They're a blessing. But there's going to be some tests that come along. And we can pass those tests. And we can raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 6:4. And we can raise them to be godly children, as some of you are doing this morning and have done. And what a great thing that is. But with every blessing comes a testing. Do you know marriage is that way? Marriage was ordained by God. It's a lovely relationship. It's a beautiful relationship. It's on the rocks right now. You look at the statistics right now, people don't want to get married right now. It's on the rocks. In fact, the Wall Street Journal showed last Monday, they surveyed many people. Marriage and family's down and money is up. Trust in marriage and family, the line goes down like that, and trust in money is doing that. Okay. I'll talk a little bit more about that this evening. But God, Genesis 1 and 2, ordained marriage, the woman to be a helpmeet. It's a beautiful relationship. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, it's portrayed as a beautiful relationship. But look at verses 2 through 5. The devil wants to tempt you in the marriage relationship. So you have to pray and work together and stay bound together. In Hebrews chapter 13, marriage is honorable. You see the blessing? It's honorable. There's love there and commitment and helping one another, physically helping each other and emotionally helping each other. But in the same verse it says, but adulterers, fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. There's a test in marriage. Are you going to remain faithful? You see? It's a blessing and a testing. What about work? Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. What about physical work? Just physical work. Going to the job. Well, God wants us to do that. And work provides for our necessities, food, shelter, and clothing, and the things that we need in life. And that's a completely different sermon, the importance of work. We don't need to be lazy and things like that. But we've got to keep it in its proper perspective, because work is a blessing, but it comes with a test. And that is, are we going to keep it in the right priority? And Solomon had to realize this. In fact, in four different chapters, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 5, and chapter 8, it all follows the same pattern. He says that work is a gift from God, but then he always says in those contexts, that work alone is just vanity and empty, because you work for all of this stuff, and when you die, you leave it behind, and you leave it to somebody else. You can't take it with you. So it's a blessing, but it's also a test to see if we will keep things in a proper priority. Look at chapter 2, verse 18. I hated all my labor, work, wherein I labored under the sun, seeing that I must leave it unto the man that shall be after me. Some people work, but it's no longer a blessing. All it is just this money-making venture where that's all we do every week. We have no spirituality. God's not my life. Church on Sunday, that's not my life. It's just work, work, work. And even Solomon realizes if that's our perspective, it's just vain. It's just vain. Now look at the end of what he says there. Look at verse 24. Work, it comes from God. This also I saw, verse 24, that it is from the hand of God. God wants us to work. But we've got to keep it in its proper perspective. If it's work only or work alone, then we're just living a sad and sorry life. Work is a blessing, but it has to be kept in its proper context. It is a tool. It is a servant to help us to get through life, to have the necessities. It should not become our master. God gives us labor, verse 24, but you've got to keep it in its proper context. Verse 26 tells us that for to the man that pleases him, God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy. So there needs to be work in our life, verses 18 through 24, but God needs to be in our life. And we've got to keep that balance.
Let's look at something else. What about the Scriptures? Turn with me to 2 Peter 3. What a blessing the Scriptures are. I love the psalmist says, I behold wondrous things out of thy law. What a blessing the Scriptures are. All kinds of guidance and wisdom and help. We need that so much today. Salvation, the plan of salvation. We could just go on and on and on. But with the blessing of Scripture comes testing. Am I going to accurately use the Scripture properly? So Paul's epistles, verse 16, wherein some things are hard to be understood, which the ignorant and unsteadfast twist, as they also do the other Scriptures to their own destruction. God gives me a Bible. What a blessing that is. But I have to accurately use it. I cannot twist it and distort it to my own destruction. It comes with some testing. Am I going to keep passages in context? Am I going to keep passages in context? Am I going to understand properly the words that are being used there and those kinds of things? Look at verse 18. I can use the Scripture to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a blessing that is. To be able to have the Word of God so that I can grow in Christ. But back in verse 16, there's a test there. Am I going to accurately use the Word of God or am I going to twist the Word of God? With every blessing comes a testing. Look at the local church. Warfield Boulevard. What a beautiful blessing we have here. Daniel prayed about our leadership and our congregation here. What a great thing that is. You know, a local church family needs to be our priority. A local church family needs to be our priority. And we need to be here on a regular basis. We can help each other. We can support each other. But in the seven churches of Asia in Revelation 2 and 3, those local churches, some of them had problems in them. And they were being tested. Look at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. Are they going to continue to have the love that they need to have for Christ? Their love had grown cold. A local church is a blessing, but it's a test also. Are we going to keep loving Christ? And look at Thyatira and Pergamum where they had let false teachers come in and start teaching. Are we going to have the truth only or are we going to let false teaching to come in? Sardis had become they had this name that they were living, but they were spiritually dead. Laodicea had become lukewarm. And so the local church that was supposed to be a blessing, they weren't passing these tests. And it's just some entity that's existing, but it's not helping anybody. Let's make sure that we keep the local church a blessing. You know, preachers and elders and deacons and Bible class teachers, they're all blessings. But Timothy tells us in 1 Timothy 1 through 6 that preachers need to act right and elders need to act right. In chapter 3, the qualifications of elders, but in chapter 5, Paul talks about how the elders can sin. Elders are a blessing, but they can sin. Preachers are a blessing, but they have to guard themselves. Look to yourself, Paul told Timothy. The same thing with deacons and Bible class teachers. All of these things are beautiful blessings, but we have tests along the way to see if we are going to be faithful. Look, turn with me to prayer. If anybody knows anything about blessings from God, it would be prayer. But do you know that it comes with a testing? Every prayer you offer up comes with a testing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8, when Paul had this thorn in the flesh, this physical problem that he was dealing with, he prayed three times to the Lord that it might depart. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. Here's a prayer. It's a blessing. And God answers that prayer. That's another blessing. But it comes with a test. And the test is this. When God answers in a way that's different than what you want, there's your test. Well, he said no when I wanted a yes, and he said yes when I wanted a no, and he said, you'll have to wait, or I'm going to give you something different. Prayer is a blessing, but it comes with a test. And Paul knew that prayer was a blessing. He prayed three times. He knew that he would be blessed by that, but it came with this test when he heard, my grace is sufficient for you. I'm not going to take away that thorn in the flesh, but I'm going to give you my grace to help you bear through that. There's your test that goes with your blessing. You see, everything God gives us is a blessing. All good things come down from the Father of lights, James 1:16. All good things come from God, but they all come with testing. The Christian life, look at Ephesians 1:3. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. But in chapter 6, we have a spiritual battle that we have to fight with the devil. We have all spiritual blessings in Christ. But the test is, we've got to fight the devil and put on the whole armor of God. Do you see how that works? One more, and then the lesson will be yours. The gospel invitation. I don't want to leave this morning without mentioning the gospel invitation. The gospel invitation. Man alive. What a blessing that is to be able to come. That God and Christ and the Holy Spirit are still saying, come. The invitation is still open in 2023. What a blessing that is. And to have our sins washed away in this baptism, this baptistry up here. What a blessing that is. But it's going to come with the test. And here's the test. When we stand to sing the song of invitation, and you need to come, will you or not? That's the test. That's the test right there. You're about to get your test here in just a minute with the song of invitation. The blessing is there. The invitation is there. But you can either grab that pew and say, I'm not moving, or you can come forward. And the reason I put these passages in the book of Acts is it illustrates that very thing. In all of these passages, when Paul preached the gospel, some people responded to that blessing, and other people, the text says they were hardened and disobedient. Nope, I'm not going to do it. That's your test. That's your choice this morning. Humbly come and obey, or stiff arm it. Nope, I'm not going to do that. But it's a blessing, and it's ready to be received, but it's going to come with a test. So as we close this morning, here's what happens. The devil uses testing to get us to lose our blessings. What he does is, when God gives you a blessing, followed by the testing, he wants you to fall under the weight of all that testing and just give up. That's what he's hoping. And the reason the Lord gives us those testings is he wants to see if we're going to be faithful and thankful. And that's Romans 4. That's Romans 4. Genesis 12, God comes to Abraham, says, here's your blessings. He's wanting to see. And he saw what he wanted to see. Abraham in Romans 4 is called the father of the faithful. We are to walk in the steps of Abraham. He learned to obey and trust and pass the tests and receive the blessings. And that's what God is waiting on us to do today. And he's also, with these tests, you know what he also does? Is he also wants to see if we will be thankful and appreciative. Do you know what makes a blessing sweet? Do you know what makes a blessing sweet? When you're able to pass the difficult things that go along with it. It just makes it that much more sweeter. It makes it that much more beautiful. Take that marriage. Marriage gets sweeter when you pass the tests and you stay together. Children, it gets sweeter when you go through those rough times. When you go through the terrible twos and the other things, the preteens and the teen years, it makes it much sweeter when you look at them later and they've married a godly Christian and now they're having their own children. When you pass the test, brethren and friends, it makes the blessings more sweet. And we appreciate it and we're thankful for it that much more. With blessing comes testing. If we can encourage you this morning to make your life right with God, we're going to stand and sing this song of encouragement. Please come forward as we sing this song.